Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
My name is Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 9 years, we have been ranked the number one entertainment career advice internet radio show worldwide. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career reality change or currently pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. Now, our guests provide tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of show business jobs. The guests on this show are Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, agents, screenwriters, actors, voiceover actors, singers, songwriters, comedians, novelists, script supervisor, stunt people. Oh my gosh, it just goes on and on and on. Basically, if you are pursuing a career in entertainment, you want to know how to break in or what you need to do to continue to be successful, this is what the show is about. It is guests that have been selected, and they're at different stages of their careers, from obviously celebrity status to professional. And then once in a while, we bring on the novice or beginners, just because we like to hear about the trials and tribulations of pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. Now, that means that we will definitely have someone on who will be able to answer all of your show business career questions. All of them. Every single one of them. Now, if you missed any of the shows and you want to seek advice about a specific entertainment career, please go to our archive page on the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com, and search for our show title, Question Reality, or you can search by my name, Priscilla Leona, and you can listen or download any of our shows 24 hours a day. All of the Question Reality shows are also available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And please make sure that you get our new app. It's newly designed. It's on the homepage of the LATalkRadio.com website, located towards the bottom. You have to scroll, and it's on the right-hand side. Finally, if you want to be a guest or refer someone to be on the show to promote themselves, their products, or to help listeners with your sage career advice, we are currently booking for fall and winter. We only have a couple of spots left, but please go to our official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com, and click the contact link, and you can submit for interview consideration. And there you have it. I'm out of breath and ready for a nap right now. It's just so much, so much. Ah. Well, as usual, we have exciting people on this show, entertaining and excitement. That's what it's all about. And today's guest is absolutely, he fits the description. Now, Peter Papageorgiou, oh God, he's going to kill me. I have to say, I'm like, Papageorgiou. I knew I was going to mess it up, but Peter, we'll just call Peter and then he can insert. He is the producer and the host of a weekly audio podcast called WebSeriesOnFire.com, WebSeriesOnFire.com. On this show, Peter interviews the world's most exciting and inspiring creators of web series, and they share their journey, and they empower listeners to make their own web series. Now, thanks to computer technology, as you know, everybody has pretty much, well, not everybody, hopefully you fit in this category, but most people have computer technology has become inexpensive, and That, along with an excellent story content, Hollywood is now taking serious notice of web series. You got series like Broad City, Drunk History, and High Maintenance, and they all started out as web series, and they were picked up for cable television. So the list is only growing, and Peter says that internet is the new cable, and I totally agree. I've been telling people that. As you know, I've been on the air 9 years, and that's what I've been telling you for 9 years. It's 2008, I was telling people that. That's when web series were in their infancy. There was only like one or two. And I was just saying, I know this is going to be the wave of the future. And it is. And Peter is here to talk to you about that and tell you how you too can get your web series done. Get her done. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Thank you. It's Peter Papagiorgio.
Thank you, Peter Papagiorgio. I think that name should be on every actor and vocalist list. You know how they have to go through the vocal exercises?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I know you remember. I think Peter Papagiorgio. Peter.
Just imagine, I had to learn that like in first grade.
Oh, that is Greek, though. You are a Greek gentleman, am I right?
Yes, my background is Greek, yeah. Born in Brooklyn.
One of my best friends, Nick, he is Greek, and he runs the Horror Channel. And the reason I'm telling you that is because I did notice in the press junket packet that you are currently working on a horror comedy feature. And I thought, oh my gosh, I got to talk to Peter and tell him he needs to. My friend is CEO and founder of Horror Channel. And it's all about horror films. And please remind me, and I'm going to hook you up with him.
Sure, thank you. Great.
Don't put that on the website, but it's huge. I mean, he got hundreds of thousands of followers. So that'd be great. All right.
You know, it's funny you say that because in regards to the Horror Channel, because on my podcast tomorrow, I have creator of a web series. His name is Ben Rock, and he has a web series called 20 Seconds to Live.
Ooh.
And here's the thing. I mean, when I interviewed him about a week or two ago, he was one of like the marketing guys behind the Blair Witch Project.
Wow.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Ooh, I got to tune in and listen to that.
He really has an interesting life.
Wow, I guess so. I think they came out with Blair Witch 2. Was he associated with that project?
I don't think so. I think he was the one who did the whole backstory and the marketing for the first one.
Well, the first one's all that matters, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, Peter, as a film producer myself who loves to watch web series, I was just so excited about the whole concept of your show. And first, webseriesonfire.com. How did you come up with the name? I love this name. How did you come up with the name?
Okay, I'll tell you exactly how I came up with it. There's a podcaster. His name is John Lee Dumas. And he came up with a podcast called EntrepreneurOnFire.com. And I've been following him for about 2 or 3 years. And he pretty much kind of made like the whole business architecture for that. So, you know, I said, you know what? I'm just going to do my podcast called WebSeriesOnFire.com. And he is very, very successful. He does a podcast a day.
Wow. Woo! Okay.
Yeah. He was in real estate, and his background was... He was driving a lot, and he said, you know, I was listening to these podcasts, and, you know, I would run out of podcasts to listen to. And he said, you know, I feel like making my own, and I'm going to make one 7 days a week. And everyone said, you're crazy, 7 days a week, you can't do that. So he pre-recorded 30 episodes, put them up there, and now he's pretty much a multimillionaire.
Oh, my God. Well, see, we need to follow his whole format. We got
the thing is, he's doing 7 days. I can't right now. I'm doing a weekly one. I can't do 7 days a week.
Oh, my God. I do one a week, and I'm, like, exhausted afterwards so much. Because, you know, there's other things. You know, we're mostly in the entertainment industry. We're usually multi-hyphenated. And, I mean, I'm a filmmaker. I flip houses. You know, I do.
Hey, you know what I want to talk to you about? Because I know, because you're an actress too and all that. I had Ward. His episode actually is already out. Ward Edmondson,
yes!
and he has a web series called Moonbound 24. And I contacted him like months ago, and like I said, it's on the website now. And he emails me and he says, "Hey, I bet you that Priscilla put you up to this." And I said, "No, I didn't even know that you were in it." I said, "I'm just, you know, researching all these web series." And I said, "Well, my wife was on her show a couple of years ago, but, you know, I kind of just did it on my own." So I think it's just kind of funny. It's a small world,
yeah,
too, you know?
I was wondering, because Ward was he sent me this Facebook message, and he said, "Did you put Peter up to interviewing me?" Because he had been asking me, did I know anyone on this website? I think it's a blogging website called webseriestodaymaybe.com. And he had been looking for places to blog about Moonbound 24. And I said, "No, I have no idea what you're talking about." And I, at the time that this happened, Moonbound 24 was winning all these awards, and they were, I was an actress, and I guess I should say we were about to screen at the Regal Theater at Regal Live in downtown LA. So this all was happening at the same time, but that is a funny, talk about web series that are funny. That Moonbound 24 was hysterical. Peter, I had no idea. That's way back when I was acting. I don't get to act, you know, much anymore. I did it pretty much, you know. I can't memorize lines. So if you come at me and you want me to do one word, I'm your girl. A sentence, you're pushing it, Peter. You're pushing it. But I can't do like one sentence. But if it comes to a paragraph, I cannot memorize. I don't know what's wrong with me. I have no retention for memorizing. Yet I was an A student, and I can memorize like history and English and you name it. But when it comes to line, can't do it. So anyway, Ward cast me as a character called Peg Leg, and he said,
I remember that, yeah.
He said, "Would you be okay with a live chicken on your shoulder, Peter?"
Yeah, he told me that in the interview, yeah.
Stop it. I said, "If you put a live damn chicken on my shoulder, that little bitch is going to be fried by the end of my..." At the end of my acting scene, I'm going to fry him up. So, you know, put them on there at your own risk. But thankfully, I did not have the live chicken. But overall, it was a fantastic little show. So everybody check that out. I'm Peg Leg, Moonbound 24, moonbound24.com. It's also on YouTube. And I think I did a good job. It was pretty crazy. Okay, so how long has your show, webseriesonfire.com, been airing?
Okay, what I did was back in February, I started, I got the website up, and I started emailing people.
February of this year.
And so I said to myself, I'm going to get 20 episodes pre-recorded, because I pre-record the show, and I said, I'm going to launch April 17th. And I got like 20, I think before April 17th, I had about 22, 23 shows. And what was really funny is I had the website up, and I would say 9 out of 10 people that I emailed got back to me and said, "Yeah, thanks for reaching out. I would love to be on your show." I was like, "Wow, okay. I haven't even launched yet, you know. They don't even know who I am. I could be this schmuck, you know."
Yeah, and they're like, I'm there. Now, Peter, why did you start this show? What was your mission? What was your goal to start webseriesonfire.com?
Well, it's a couple of things. One, I always loved radio growing up back in New York. And, I love listening to, you know, just people interacting on the radio, talking and all that. You know, it's theater of the mind and all that. And then what happened was when I came up with the concept for webseriesonfire.com, I said, with technology being so cheap now and there's no reason why you can't do it. You know, just pick up a camera, you know, and you're going to be scared. You're going to be like, "Oh my God, is this thing going to suck? Are people not going to watch it?" But, you know, just get your work out there, and there's no reason why you can't right now. So I said, let me do this podcast. I enjoy doing it. And I'm just kind of like throwing it out into the universe, and I'm trying to inspire people to just do it. Don't wait for no one. I didn't. I mean, I got this whole thing together myself. You know what I mean?
Right. Now, so your show is a visual podcast. It's not an audio podcast like this one.
No, right now, my show, WebSeriesOnFire.com, it's an audio podcast, but I am looking down the road to make it visual, to make it video, too.
Oh, absolutely. You have to.
Yeah. I'm still going to have like the audio files on Spreaker and Stitcher.com and iTunes and TuneIn app.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, but when I was making a decision whether or not I wanted to go, because LATalkRadio.com, what's great about them is they not only offer the audio, but they have video podcasts available as well. And their setup is so sophisticated, Peter. No matter what background you want, the way they have, I guess, and I'm not a techie, but the way I guess they do it is they have some computer program where they can put it on a green screen and pretty much give you any background you want, which is what I would love. And what's great about LA Talk Radio, I've seen other podcasts, radio stations try to do the green screen and it looks horrible. And LA
that's
Talk
all that's all in the lighting. If you have to green screen, if you don't light it correctly, you're going to have digital artifacts and it's just going to look crappy.
Right. Well, that's why I was so impressed with the way they do it at LA Talk Radio, because I thought, oh, I wish that wasn't available at the time, because I started my show in 2008 and that wasn't available. And I thought, oh, darn it, I wish I could switch now, but it would be such a process to do that. But I would love it because my shows are more, they're more exciting with it being a visual. Now, not everybody can do a podcast and have it be exciting as a visual. I mean, some are meant to be audio, but because of the nature of who I am and the people I select on my show, it is someone where the guests would be very, very, very exciting. So that's very important.
Yeah, I mean, you do want to see like people interacting. Yeah. You want to see their faces and all that. I mean, when I do it down the road, I'm either going to do it through Skype or there's a software called Zoom, zoom.us. And you could pay, I think it's $20 a month, but they have this one plan where it's the basic one where you can record 45 minutes of video for nothing. And then what happens is that after 45 minutes, basically it cuts off and you just do it again. But my podcast is like 15 to 20 minutes usually. So when I wind up doing that, you know, and they give it to you, and when the way the software is set up, it's really cool. It's like if you and I were doing this through Zoom, it would be going back and forth, so it actually does the cuts for you. So once you finish the podcast, it's basically downloaded on your desktop as a movie file, and it just goes back and forth between people talking.
Who does that? Is there someone behind the scenes that's editing this?
No. What happens is the software picks up the voices. So if you were talking, it would go to you. And then if I was talking, it would go to me.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. I got to check that out.
Yeah.
That
Zoom, ZOOM.us.
Oh, that's cool. I'm going to check it out. Now, your friend, Joe DiVola, the executive producer of the network shows Smallville and One Tree Hill, recently stated that he feels the internet is the new cable, which is, you know, what I had said earlier that you said, but it was actually your friend, Joe DiVola.
DiVola.
Now, I've been saying that, as I said, for years, too. Can you expand on your conversation with him about this statement?
Well, with Joe, he was on some YouTube video, and he had talked about that. And the thing is, you know, it's the internet now basically is giving you a chance to show your stuff,
right?
You know, exactly. it's free. I mean, you know, like I said, it's free. So, you know, between Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all these other platforms and all that. I mean, it, in a way, it's almost like early classic television, like in the 50s.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. Now, having an upper echelon film connection like Mr. Davola. With him being a friend, there is obviously a fine line when it comes to asking a friend to help you with one of your projects. What are your feelings on how to safely proceed with doing this? Or do you feel that you shouldn't approach a friend to help on a project?
Well, it is a fine line, and my feeling is, you know, do what you can on your own. And the thing is, if it's good enough, they'll come to you and say, hey, you know what? I was thinking this, this, and this.
Exactly. You can let them see it if they ask about it. I mean, I would never. I just think it's so
tacky.
I think it's so tacky to be asking.
You know why? Because here's the thing. People like that, everybody wants something off you.
Right.
You know,
right.
They're all takers. Help me out, you know.
But the thing is,
with me, it's like if I prove myself, then they'll come to me.
That's right.
If they like the project, they may not like the project. I don't know.
That's right. Absolutely. Okay.
You know, and the thing is, there's a lot of people, you know, in LA that I've met that, you know, oh, yeah, I'm working on a screenplay, and, you know, 5 years away, how you doing with that screenplay? Yeah, I'm kind of getting it together. It's like, come on.
Oh, believe me, I know. I hear it all the time.
I know.
I love funny stories. And speaking of stories, I heard that there is an interesting story that you have to tell us about how you got your SAG card. Give me the scoop.
Oh, my God. Yes. How I got my SAG card. That's really very, very bizarre. This is back in the early 90s. Maybe 91, 92. I had just gotten my first computer, which was a PC. I have a Mac now. But anyway, so this is back in New York. I was drinking Snapple iced tea a lot. This is when Snapple iced tea first came out into the market. And I was drinking like I still do the Snapple iced tea, the raspberry flavor. So anyway, so one day I said, you know, I'm going to write a letter to Snapple and just tell them how much I love their product. Came from the heart. I was not, like, expecting anything. And anyway, I did it, and I said that I was an actor, and a lot of times, you know, when I go to an audition, I'm nervous, my throat gets dry, so I drink Snapple raspberry iced tea. It's my favorite iced tea. So about 3 months later, I get a letter from Snapple Corporation, you know, thanks for taking the time to write to us, we really appreciate it. And a couple of months later, I get a phone call from a marketing company, and they asked me more questions about Snapple and all that. So I didn't really think anything. They sent me like a coupon to get like a case, I believe, for free, which was nice at the time. And so then about 6 months later, now it's like sometime in 1992, late 92, I get a phone call from a production company called HSI Productions. And are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, because I heard something. Yeah, HSI Productions, and they do commercials.
Yeah.
So they said, hi, Peter, this is so-and-so, and they left a message on my voicemail, and they said, we're filming commercials based on people's letters that wrote to Snapple, and we want to use you. I'm like, what's going on here, you know? So anyway, this is what happened. Talk about timing in life is everything. When I wrote this letter to Snapple, it wound up going to Snapple headquarters in their file. And HSI Productions was in the process of doing a campaign to bring Snapple out into the iced tea universe. And they were just about to go public. So they were thinking about what kind of campaign can we use? So one of the creatives said, hey, you know, you have this file here. And actually it was Wendy Kaufman, who was the receptionist at Snapple. And she says, you know, I collected all these letters of all these people who wrote to Snapple. And they looked at it and they said, you know what? These are people who took the time to write Snapple and say how much they love the product. These are real people who, you know, who wrote from the heart. So out of 3,000 letters, they picked 24 letters. They filmed 24 commercials. I was one of them. And they said 12 are going to air. So I went from 3,000 to 24 to 12 to airing, SAG card, $5,000. national commercial.
Wow! Now that is a story. That was so lucky. Oh, my God, what a cool story to get your SAG card. Some people have to wait forever to get their SAG.
I know, and the thing is, and it was actors in New York said, oh, man, you know, once they found out, I'm going to write a letter to a chocolate company, you know, a chocolate company, said how much I love their, you know, their chocolate bars.
I said,
nothing's going to happen because I wasn't expecting anything. Right. I didn't send him a headshot and say, hey, put me in a commercial for Snapple. Right. I just wrote him a letter. That was it. It came from the heart.
Right. And back then, my God, 92, I would imagine that the dues were very, very cheap. I mean, by the, when I joined, it was maybe, I think I paid $1,300, and now...
Yeah, it was $1,200.
I think now it's like maybe $2,500. So
wow,
you bet.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up, because let's talk about that, people, for a minute. All right, so what I need you to do, if you're an aspiring actor and you're doing non-union work, which I highly recommend, do non-union work. Don't come out here and automatically think, oh, my God, I need my SAG card.
No, that's very true, because I have a friend of mine who was dying to get into SAG, right?
Right.
And he was doing a lot of non-union work, speaking roles, everything.
Yeah.
He got into SAG, and now I don't see him doing anything. He's just doing extra work.
Right. Focus on doing non-union work, because you're going to get a lot of work, and it is great experience, and you need that while simultaneously taking classes.
And you could build your reel, too.
Right. When you're ready for SAG, you'll know it. But in the meantime, I want to point out that it is very expensive. So what happens is, when you get, however you get it, people get their SAG cards various ways. But if it's a situation where you work on a project and you get 3 film vouchers, then you become what's called SAG eligible, and you have 30 days to decide whether or not you want to join the union. You have to start some sort of a savings account. If you're a person who can afford it and just could pay, like, don't quote me, I think it's $2,500, maybe $3,000 now, but you only have 30 days. So if you don't have that money, then you lose that opportunity. So set aside a savings and start putting the money together so that when you do become qualified, you'll have that money for your SAG card. So please, please, please start an envelope. Now, Peter, you have over 20 years of experience in the entertainment business. You worked as an actor, a director, a writer, a producer, and all of these things enabled you to have a complete understanding regarding all facets of show business. And that brings like an eclectic wealth of youth value.
I wish I did have youth. I'm 29, you believe it? No.
And it brings like an eclectic wealth of value to all of your projects. Now, I know that you wrote and produced the short film Big Man on Mulberry Street, which premiered at the Vortex Theater in New York. I know you did Toothpicks, a British comedy. Can you tell us about some of your other projects that you're working on right now or that are going to be coming up in the future?
Okay. I have a screenplay that I wrote called Pumping Up. And it takes place in New York, and it's about 3 Italian-American buddies, and they work out at an old gym in Queens. It's called the Hercules Gym. And this gym actually exists. It's not called the Hercules Gym. I just named it that for the film. And basically, it's about every year there's a weightlifting contest, and it's how the contest affects their lives and their relationship. It's it kind of has like tones of Saturday Night Fever, because these guys, they live in Queens, but for them to go into Manhattan is like a big, big deal. You know what I mean? You'll get it because you're from Connecticut, so you know the whole mentality.
I know my hot little ass was going from Connecticut like 4 buses to get to New Jersey, because that's where all the action was in the 80s. That's where the parties were. So my ass was partying in Red Bank and Egg Harbor.
Oh, Red Bank. Okay, that's far, man. Yeah.
No, I know, but like you said, you will travel there, right? So that's what your movie is about, right? Pump me up, pumping up.
Pumping up. Yeah, it's basically, you know, because the gym is like a trash can of a gym. You walk into this gym, it's like 1960. I mean, everything's torn up, and you have like this older Italian guy who was a father figure to the three guys. So, you know, it kind of has like the Heart of Rocky, the tone of Saturday Night Fever, you know, a lot of things that influenced me growing up.
And
it's basically, it's based on people I knew. Like this one particular character, Vinny, it's someone I knew back in New York, and this guy would work out like all the time. And I said, Vinny, what are you doing? You can't work out 7 days a week. Oh no, I gotta do it. You know, and one time I saw him at the gym and he had like 102 fever. I said, Vinny, you don't look too good. Yeah, I have a really bad fever. I said, what are you doing working out? I said, you're gonna get worse. And he wound up getting worse and he missed like 3 weeks working out, which freaked him out, you know. So I said, man, you know, I have to use these characters that I grew up with, you know, and they say, write what you know, and that's what I do.
That's what you do. Now, what stage is that? Is that, first of all, is that a web series, a short film?
No, it's a feature. It's a 90-minute feature, yeah. Oh. I mean, the screenplay is written, you know, it's kind of floating around. I have my friend Tony Timpone. He's the producer of it, and he's shopping it around, too. And Tony, he used to be the editor of Fangoria magazine.
I bet you anything he knows my friend Nick Saltos, who started the Harvard.
Oh, he has to. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. You got to ask him. Totally. Okay, so what, you said you're working on it. What stage is it in?
Well, right now, like we're just basically shopping around trying to get financing. What else
do
you know, right?
So it's already, are you about to develop it or it's already?
It's in development. Yeah, it's written.
It's okay. Okay. Yeah. Now, I also heard among your many projects that you developed and wrote a scripted TV pilot called Late Bloomers. Now, I love that title for some reason.
Wow,
that's currently being pitched right here in Hollywood. And, and you said that Harry Worksman, who has produced and written TV shows like Castle and Grey's Anatomy,
Billy Betty,
that he is interested in writing for the show once it gets picked up. So that's so exciting. Can you tell us what, you know, how that's coming along?
Sure. Like I said, right now it's being pitched around. And what happened was at the time, I was working at a building in Los Angeles, and Harry actually lived there. And we became friends, and I had told him about the project, and I said, Harry, I said, I'm going to, you know, I'll write the script, and I'll shoot something, like a little pitch reel for it. And he saw it, and he loved it, and he goes, yeah, I really like it a lot. I said, well, you know, would you be interested in writing for it? He says, yeah. He says, you know, we could get this thing off the ground, and you can get this thing off the ground. I would love to write for it. I said, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh! Okay. Let's tell our audience the steps of how to develop, write, and pitch a scripted TV pilot to an A-list producer and writer like Harry Worksman. Just briefly.
But Harry's going to pitch it, not me.
All right. Well, just tell people, what are the steps? You know, nothing, you know, too elaborate, but just what are the steps to develop and write and pitch it?
Well, I mean, the first thing obviously is you got to get something down on paper, and the thing is, it really has to be tight, you know, because you only get one shot when you're pitching. So, it, you know, the characters have to be developed. It has to have like a story arc and all that. And what I did was, when I got the whole thing together, I didn't just write a script and shoot like a little pitch for it. I basically did a show bible. Now, when you have when you're pitching a TV show, They want you to have it's called a show Bible. And a show Bible basically has character breakdowns. It has story arcs, where you see the series in 5 years and 3 years, future plot episodes. I have, like, I think 30 plot episodes. They're almost like little, like, paragraphs of you know, of what this episode's going to. So I gave the episode a name, a little paragraph, what it's about. Because they want, once this thing is pitched, you know, you have to basically, lack of a better word, kind of like slap them in the face with it. Like, hey, you know what? This thing has legs. Okay, so because they're just going to sit there and like, okay, I don't know. But if you show them that this thing has legs and it could really go, at least you have a better chance of them saying yes, or at least consider it.
Absolutely, because I tell you, you got to do everything for.
You got to do everything, and that's the whole thing, you know.
I mean, it's just like when the record labels, the few that are left, now they want you to have the whole damn record done, produced, everything.
Oh, and they want you to have followers too.
Yeah. Oh, you got.
Yeah, you got to have followers. How many Twitter followers do you have? How many Facebook followers?
I got to tell you something. I have a friend that works at a distribution company, a very large film distribution company. And he said, Priscilla, I'm going to be honest with you. Here's what happens. When we are considering picking up a film for distribution, this is the first thing that we do. Not that it's right, but this is just how it works. When we have comparable films, we say, okay, how many followers does this person have on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Periscope? They want to have someone. They will choose your film project over someone that may have a better quality project.
Yep. Yeah, uh-huh.
Because they want a built-in audience. That's why I tell actors and singers and people, you must focus on your social media followers. You got to build up a fan base because that is what they're looking for. They'll pick that over somebody who has a great story.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, it's tough because if you're an actor, you know, outside of trying to get that next gig and going to auditions and going to classes and then working out to stay in shape,
it's hard.
Then you have to market yourself, it's like...
It's true. That's why it's very important, Peter, as you know, to have a team. You know, even if the team consists of your husband or your wife or your sister or brother, somebody to help you do the administrative thing, which is to promote via social media. But I can't stress that enough, how important it is. There are so many actors that just want to focus on the art and the craft and doing the
which
job.
Is great. I mean, because the thing is you have to be prepared because especially with acting, it's like you got to be prepared because once that opportunity comes, you got to be ready for it.
That's right. And I just, again, people, please focus on promoting yourselves. And a lot of actors say, well, you know, I think it's so tacky to constantly be telling people, oh, I'm in this, I'm in that, I'm in this. It sounds like I'm grandstanding. No, it is not. It's saying, hey, I'm a working actor. Look at me go. I'm in this, I'm in that, I'm in this. And this is what you have to do. It's just...
That's what I'm doing with WebSeriesOnFire.com. I mean, I do my promos. It's like next week on WebSeriesOnFire.com. I do a little video, and then at least I prepare people for next week, who's going to be the guest. And, I'm doing it like 2-3 times a day.
You have to. You just really have to. Okay.
I promoted this, the radio show.
That's right. Peter, we're coming close to time. I want to get as much in as possible. Another one of your projects in development is called Sexton Heights, which is a horror comedy feature. And that sounds fun. I like the title, Sexton Heights.
It's I know. I got some good feedback on that.
Sounds like I'd want to hang out there in the 80s. Right? That was like a fun area. What's the scoop on the film?
That's a screenplay that's out there. And it's called Sexton Heights, and it's about this down-and-out private eye. He's kind of a burnout from the 60s. His name is Elias Clarkman, and he gets hired to investigate the murder of an insurance salesman. And, we want to shoot it in Nevada, like somewhere outside of Las Vegas, and it's going to be a fake town called Sexton Heights. And when he goes when Elias goes to town, to that town to investigate it, it's a lot of weird people, you know what I mean? They're almost like, I don't want to say another world, but it's like they're like living in this like weird world outside of Las Vegas. And there's a lot of sex going on, a lot of drugs. Just think of it almost like Twin Peaks, you know what I mean?
Right. Ooh, that sounds good. I like it.
And it's a comedy. And it's a comedy, too. That's the thing.
Ooh,
you know, it's very campy. You know, I think one of my influences from it, I would say, is probably Dark Shadows and Lost in Space.
Those were my influences. I used to love Dark Shadows. I love Dark Shadows when I was a little kid. I was so scared, but I loved Barnabas Collins.
Yes, Barnabas Collins.
I wanted to be Angelique so bad. I was like, why, God?
Oh, my God. I had such a crush on her.
So beautiful.
Lara Parker, so, gorgeous woman.
Oh, yes, yeah, she definitely was. Now, what is this? Recently you edited and produced a web series called All About Manos.
Yes, that's my wife's web series. I think she's going to be on this show in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, gorgeous, multi-talented Catherine Natale.
Yes.
And also Eden Young.
Young, yeah. So what happened was I had done a short. I wrote this. Here's the thing. I wrote a short. And for Catherine and Eden to be in, and it was called Toothpicks. And what's really funny is I wrote it, and it was very Monty Python, the whole thing. And we had done rehearsals for it, and then it just wasn't working, and I was just ready to scrap it. I said, you know, I'm not going to shoot this, because whatever is in my mind, it's not coming out right, you know. So anyway, then I said, while they were rehearsing, I said, hey guys, I said, try doing it with a British accent. And they did it, and like the whole thing just like, it's like, oh my God, it's working now, you know. So anyway, so I shot Toothpicks, and they had such a good rapport together. So what happened once after that was, you know, Catherine wanted to do this web series, and she talked to Eden about it, and I was one of the producers, and I cut the whole thing together, being in the video editor. And it's going to be coming out soon, and it's called All About Manos. All About Manos. If you go to allaboutmanostv.com, but the website's not up yet. It's almost up.
Okay. What is it about?
Okay, it's about Catherine plays this this woman named Jane Spott, and she's married to Jay Spott, and Jay is a porno editor. Anyway, they live in New Jersey, and they wind up moving out to L.A., and now Catherine's character, Jane, is friends with this girl named Geraldine. They've been high school friends for years. So what happens is Geraldine is obsessed with this particular guy she dated back in high school called Vic Manos. And now Vic Manos is in L.A., and then Geraldine wound up moving to L.A. to find this guy, like 20 years later. So she's like totally obsessed with him. And she thinks, like, she's the right one for him. And Vic Manos is, like, this good-looking guy. He's an actor. He also does these survival jobs and all that. And she's constantly trying to get to him. And she winds up, like, always being where he's at. And he's losing his mind. Like, he drives around L.A. He's in a wig and sunglasses. You know, it's a crazy. So Catherine's character.
It's almost like that television show that's on right now. What is that lady who moved to another state to be with the guy, and he's like this Filipino guy, and he has the Filipino family, and
oh, I don't know that one.
It's like a huge show. It sounds exactly like the same premise, but it's a hugely successful show. So
yeah, is it a comedy? Because this is like a wacky comedy.
Yeah, it is. It's a really, really wacky comedy, and it sounds exactly like the same thing. It's gonna be really fun. I wish I could think of the name. I'm gonna Google.
Okay.
It.
And the thing is, and like Catherine's character and Ian's character, it's almost like Lucy and Ethel from I Love Lucy,
right?
Because Eden is so obsessed to get, you know, like she's trying to get to this guy, and Catherine's like the tag along, and they wind up getting involved in all these adventures because Eden's character wants to get to this guy. You know, he can't even, like, date. I mean, he's on a date, and she shows up with a sign that says, you know, I love you.
Yeah, sounds similar. Oh, that sounds like a definite hit if it follows that format, because that seems to be very successful for this particular show, and I got it.
Oh, and the thing is, in it is Shelley Desai. He plays Mr. Yip, and Shelley is he's like kind of like this guy. I think what they're looking down the road is if they do more episodes, because I don't know that they're going to do a crowdfunding.
I'm so
thing
glad
later
you,
on.
I'm glad you went that, because we got like 5 minutes, so I want to get that in. crowdfunding. Let's talk about crowdfunding for the indie filmmaker who wants to make a web series. Now, I personally coined a phrase called Priscilla's Peas, and I try to help people remember because I put together my own crowdfunding campaigns for my projects, and I came up with Priscilla's Peas. Pitch, perks, promotion, and personalization. Crowdfunding, as you know, and this is pretty much I'm talking to you, but I'm talking to the audience, has sure. become the primary way for today's indie filmmakers to get funds when they need their projects from script to screen. So by setting up a campaign on Indiegogo or Kickstarter or any of the other crowdfunding.
I'll tell you, there's one that's really, really good right now because a lot of the people that I interview on webseriesonfire.com.
I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
SeedandSpark.com.
Yes, SeedandSpark. That's it. I love SeedandSpark. Unfortunately, it hasn't gotten the recognition yet, but I sure hope it does because what I love about
It will now after we just talked about it.
I know. I love it because I like how it's set up. With the way my mind works, I'm extremely detailed and organized, and when I'm trying to fund a campaign, what I do is I ask people, I say, hey, do you want to donate to this project? Your money, you will be in charge of hiring all the costumers, or your money is going to pay for all the editing, or your money is going to pay just for craft services. And when you do that, that makes people feel personally attached.
That's right. Yeah, that's a great point.
It is a great way for people to donate because they want to see that their money made this film and they were all in charge of hiring the costumer or the props or the food. So it's a little tip for you, kind of go that way and make them responsible. Well, Seed and Spark sets it up like that. They say, okay, well, if you want to donate, you can ask them to donate for this particular category. So I love that you brought that up. So anyway, you have to do crowdfunding. Unless you're rich or have rich friends that just want to give you their money, you got to do crowdfunding. And what you have to do now is to record a pitch video. You have to offer rewards, and you have to,
that's what Catherine and Eden are doing right now.
Peter and I just talked about this. You have to spread the word via social media. And, if you do that, you could be basically calling action sooner than you think without having to go through the rigmarole of finding investors, filling out proposals.
Well, the thing is, they have 3 episodes done, so at least they'll see a concept out there.
Yeah, and you have to have that. I mean, you cannot have a successful crowdfunding campaign without a pitch video of some sort. So,
although, I had this one girl, she was on the show, and she has a web series called Hustle. Mm-hmm. And she only had done a trailer, and with the trailer, she put it on Kickstarter, I think, and she got like $13,500.
Isn't that fantastic? Oh, I love it! I love it! I love it! And it really is. Again, it's all about execution. As with everything, there's a right way and a not so right way to crowdfund.
Well, you gotta have a good team around you. That's the thing,
Yeah, people don't realize there's an art that goes into successful crowdfunding, and you really have to know that. More than art, crowdfunding really revolves around convincing a group of people who you don't know to basically band together and help make your dreams of shooting a motion picture a reality. So in that sense, we as crowdfunders, we have to, and filmmakers second, we cannot be solely seen as filmmakers and certainly not business people. You have to. So we got to make our projects their projects. So simply stated, this means that being a person before a petition. So you have to have a great pitch, and the pitch is the most important thing that potential contributors are going to see when they visit your page. So again, pitch is so important with crowdfunding. So we actually have to go. What do you want to say to your fans, to the audience, before we leave, Mr. Peter?
Well, if anybody is a creator of a web series and they want to be on webseriesonfire.com, they can go to the website. All the information is there. Or they can just email me directly at webseriesonfire@gmail.com, and they can get on the show.
Well, I want to be on the show. I want to
Do you have a web series?
Darn, I don't have a web series. Well, you know what? I'm going to have to go. Right now I'm producing a feature film and three short films and a music video. But I don't have a web series, but I'm so busy with them, I can't just find a moment. But I have so many ideas for web series.
Well, do it. I'll put you on the show. Yeah, we got 20 seconds?
We got it. Go.
Okay. I recently had on the show, you can listen to it on iTunes, Ken Davenport. Ken is a big Broadway producer. You know the show Kinky Boots?
Yeah.
I reached out to him. I saw an article. He did a web series called The Bunny Hole, and it was very, very Reno 911. Really funny. I mean, really good. I reached out to him. He says, yeah, I'd like to be on your show. So we had a great time.
Woo! Well, see, we got to all tune in. Okay, everybody, go listen to Peter's podcast. Peter Papa George. Oh, shit. Peter. Peter Papa George. I can't do it. I need
Peter Papa George, you.
Yeah. Go webseriesonfire.com. Listen to him. And we are going to make Web Series on Fire the hottest website in town for web series.
Cool.
There's information.
Web series creators. To be interviewed, yeah.
Okay, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you, Priscilla.
Thank you, Peter, and I will talk to you soon. Have a great
week. Yay.
Bye.
It was a blast. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.